first time, it's great to see you. And for the guys that have been here loads and loads of times, it's fantastic to see you as well, as we're building church together. And it's great to have you. And we had a great time at Blackpool. There was a really good spirit there. I mean, the numbers were great, for sure. But just to sense the heart of the people and the heart of God there was for me the most exciting thing. You know, people, numbers are important because each person that comes is a person that's in the kingdom of God, and that's really, really important. But just to feel the spirit of the heart of people is also an incredible thing. So it was great to be there. We also this morning announced the Heart for the House offering. And some of you weren't here this morning, so I have the joy of sharing with you again. Just to remind you, the Heart for the House offering is our chance as a church, as people, to sort of give lump sums to try and take the church forward in some big steps. You know, we give our tithes and our offerings week by week, month by month, to keep doing the things we're doing and to do them excellent, do them well, and to glorify God and to see people saved. But then once a year, we come and say, hey, we're going to give an extra dollop, and a sacrifice for most of us. It's going to cost us something to see God take the church forward. And we were praying as a leadership team for about 30,000. That's sort of a faith level. And it's like, it was a considerable jump from last time. So, you know, it's a good faith level. And you guys did great. God did great. I'm more excited about the implications it is for God blessing us as a church. Actually, more than the fact that we gave our socks off, because we did. But last week, we pledged 36,500, guys. So, well done. Yeah, it is. It's amazing. It really is. And obviously, some of you perhaps were on holiday or weren't here last week. Or God might challenge you to give some more, unlucky. You can still give. You can just use the envelopes. Actually, put it in, put Heart for the House on. If you're going to pledge, just put pledge on the envelope and how much and over how many months or which dates are going to come so we can put the cash flow together. And then just hand that in either straight to Rich, who's the treasurer. Rich is going to stand up and he doesn't spin round and wave, so he can give it to him direct. It's all brown. He's been on holiday. Rich just got back. And he will sort that out. And just believing for a great future. I don't know. God gives us money to really build his kingdom, so I'm excited. I'm also a bit sad and excited for the next couple of weeks. Dave and Mel are going on holiday / ministry trip. And I'm going to miss. What did I miss then? Oh, he's laughing. Okay. I always miss Dave and Mel when they're not here. Obviously, they do so much. They're off to Australia tomorrow night. So pray for a safe journey there and back. They obviously are going to go on holiday, and they have some great things planned, including snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef. So I'm going to look forward to that. But they're also going to spend some time back in Sydney with some of their old friends and some of their old teachers and those who led them while they were there, reconnecting with them. So pray for that. And they're also going to spend some time in Melbourne with Pastor Tim Douglas, who is really a friend of Dave's as much as his pastor. He spent, and for Mel, did you both spend 2 years with him? Two and a half. Just over two. Tim's 3 years ago, he got asked to go and start Hillsong Melbourne, a church that's grown from scratch to about 4,000-ish, we think, in the last 3 years. And Dave and Mel are going to actually just hang out with him for a week, go to all the meetings, do the thing that Tim does, and just hang out with them. And so just pray for rest for them, and also come back inspired to help us all and take us all forward. So that's why it's not going to be here. No Dave on guitar for the next 2 weeks. Oh, I know. Dave's like, I can't wait to stop. That plane, oh, I'm going to sleep for 24 hours on the plane. Cool. Right, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into tonight's subject. Father, we thank you for what Jesus has done. And may we never, ever take our eyes off you, Jesus. Take your eyes off who you are and what you've done for us. Because that puts all of life in perspective. It puts all of life in its right place. It puts eternity in the forefront. It puts your power and your majesty and your authority and your love and your care of us right there in front of us. And Father, I thank you for all those things. And I pray tonight for each one of us as we fix our eyes on Jesus again, that you'd come and speak to our hearts and lives, that you'd move us on, Father. Move us deeper into you. Help us to understand you better and ourselves better, our purpose, our role here on earth better. God, I thank you that that's in your heart to do. And so we rejoice that you're saying yes in Jesus' name. Amen. So we started a brand new series today. It's called the Shape Series. We have a passion. We believe in people. I believe in people. Shell believes in people. We believe that each person is unique and amazing in the sight of God. We believe that you are special. You're a one-off created masterpiece by God. And I don't get tired telling people that. Why? Because we keep need to hearing it. We keep need to hearing how amazing we are. Because we so easy slip back into the, you know, I'm not worth much, and my life's not worth much, and I don't feel like I'm beautiful or handsome or gifted and talented. And you are all those things. You are gifted and talented. You are beautiful and amazing. Why? Because God created you to be you. And what we want to do as a church over and over again is help you become who you were created to be and help you to do the things that you were created to do, the things that you're gifted for and skilled for, the kind of help you find your sweet spot in life so you can be productive and enjoy it at the same time. I was reading some stats this week in one of the papers. It says 85% of people don't enjoy their job. 85%. That's like loads. But we as a church want to say, hey, with God, as you come and work with him, he will show you your sweet spot in life. So you're not only working, but you're working. No, that won't be hard work, because everything's hard work sometimes. But it'll be your sweet spot, and you'll enjoy it and say, that was a good day's work. That was a good week's work. And we want to help you find that. Psalm 139, verse 14 says, the psalmist says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance for us to do. And God has created and purposed us amazing people to do amazing things. He really, really has. And so what we want to do over the next few weeks is really explore how we can discover who we are in Christ. For some of us who've been Christians a while, it's going to be a recap. We're going to give us a chance to really sort of do a review of our lives. Are we actually still in the place that we should be? And if you're a long-term Christian, I want to challenge you for the next few weeks is to take off your preconceptions and what you've already thought you were and say, actually, I'm going to start again. I'm going to rethink about who I am and how God's gifted me and my personality and my experiences and all the other things and rethink about who you are. If you're brand new to the faith, this is your chance to explore who you are. Is actually think, well, what has God given me? What am I good at? What do I have a heart for, a passion for? What do I want to spend my life doing for Jesus Christ? And it's to give us those kind of moments. And tonight I'm going to begin by looking at the SHAPE is an acronym. We're going to have a look at S, which is our spiritual gifts. We're going to consider what they are, who has them, what we're supposed to do with them, what can go wrong with them, and my favorite bit, how we get to maximize what the gifts God has given us, which I'm really, really interested in. The one thing I want to do is maximize what I'm good at, because that just brings fun and life and energy to me and to everybody else. So what are or what is a spiritual gift? 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says that each one should use whatever gift he has received from God to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. A spiritual gift is something that God gives us individually and specially. I always think about it as a gift wrapped in Christmas paper, because I like Christmas. And with kind of, do you know the girls that make a real big effort in wrapping Christmas presents? Yeah, I mean, like a boy's present is kind of wrapped up with a bit of sellotape and a bit of a label thrown on for good measure, and there you go, you know? Unless they're going out with a girl that they want to impress, and then it's a bit more fancy. Or you get a shop assistant to do it, which is my usual trick, because that's great. So you've got to imagine either a shop assistant prepared present or sort of a girly prepared present. Yeah, the very nice, and this is God's gift to us. And he gives it to us. a gift given to us through the Holy Spirit. You know, we can think Jesus died to give us salvation, which he did. He died on the cross so we could get to know God, so that barrier between us could be taken away. He could take the punishment on the cross. But Jesus didn't just die on the cross for salvation. He died on the cross to give us much, much more. And part of that much, much more are spiritual gifts. Gifts that we can unpack. Supernatural, and they're supernatural goods. It means they're not our normal natural talents. Now, it might take hold of a natural talent and supercharge it, but it's not natural talent. You see, I'm quite good with numbers. You know, I'm not bad at adding up, dividing and timesing and stuff. I can do computations in my head. Computations in my head would have been better. Not great at English. My spelling's pretty atrocious. If you ever get a letter from me, it will be spell checked by somebody else. Because it has to be. Because my English is dreadful. I mean, who thought that where, and where was great in the English language? It's crazy. Three wheres. I mean, sure. And they're all spelled different. Even now, it's like the one with the H and the one without a H. Yeah, it's kind of confusing, isn't it? You see, somebody going, Ed, you're silly. But somebody going, yeah, you're right, Ed. It's crazy. You see, and you're like me. You're not. I'm pretty good at thinking through situations. I'm lousy at languages. I'm not lousy at languages. I'm lousy at languages. I'm getting better. The thing is, I have natural gifts. They're not spiritual gifts. And don't confuse the two. God has given you some natural gifts. I'm going to come on to talk about those later. I'm talking about spiritual gifts. The gifts you didn't have naturally before the Holy Spirit came on you. And I'm not talking about who you are. You know, God gives gifts to help your personality develop to become more Christ-like. That's a gift of God, but it's not a spiritual gift. You know the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22-23, love, joy, peace, patience. I've written them down here so I don't forget. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, God grows those in us, but they're not spiritual gifts. They're fruit, they're character things to help us become more like Christ in our own personality. I'm talking about those super-duper things that are really cool. Those kind of spiritual gifts. Now, the Bible lists lots of them. Including Romans 26-8, 1 Corinthians 12:8-10, 1 Corinthians 12:28, Ephesians 4:11, and 1 Peter 4:9-10. I give the lists. There's a reason for it. And if you collect those, there's about 20 or so spiritual gifts. Now, most of the gifts that you have will be in those spiritual gifts, okay? But if you find that your gift isn't, that's okay. Okay? You see, I don't think the author's meant to give us an exhaustive or complete list. I think it is almost complete, because that's the way God works. But if you think, well, actually, my gift isn't quite described like it, that's okay. But I think most of you will have whatever gifts, you spiritual gifts you have, will be included in that list somewhere. And you'll say, yeah, that's probably where I fit. But if you don't, chill. That's okay. God's allowed to make new spiritual gifts, yeah? Because he's kind of God. So if you think, actually, none of those really fit me, don't worry about it. And it's important, because we're going to ask you to do something in a bit. Because what we're going to do is, in the Connect groups, we're going to try and help each one of you work through what your spiritual gifts are. And there's some teaching and training in that to help that. You're going to have kind of go, and then you're going to share as a group, which is really helpful because they'll help you hone your spiritual gifts. So not all of you are in Connect groups, but I hope all of you are interested in saying, well, what is my spiritual gift? What has God given me to unpack and to use? And for the next 3 weeks, 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we're going to open up all the Connect groups. If you want to be in a Connect group for 4 weeks or 3 weeks, and this is going to really mess Katie's schedule, but potentially, Katie will find you a group for the next week or two. And if that's all you can manage, that's cool. We'd rather you attended for a couple of weeks and really had a real good, serious look at your spiritual gifts. We really would. Than miss out. So if you're not in a Connect, you think, hey, long term, I could do for a couple of weeks though, that's fine. This is Katie. Katie's going to stand on a chair and wave at you. She's going to stand up there. Go and see Katie. You see, spiritual gifts are to be unpacked. They're supposed to be used. And we really want you to discover your gifts so that you can use them over and over again. And yeah. So who has them? Who has spiritual gifts? Well, you won't be surprised to hear that everybody's got them. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7 says, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit or the gift of the Spirit is given for the common good. Everybody has a gift. If you're a believer, it means that the Spirit of God lives in you. John 14, 18. Jesus promises that we won't be left as orphans. His Spirit will come and dwell with us. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, then you've got spiritual gifts. Because it's logical. So each one of us has a spiritual gift given to us to glorify God and to benefit others. And we discover our spiritual gift by using them. By using them, especially in the church. And I really want to encourage you to realize that you have a gift and then to discover it by serving in this local church. Or if you're from another church, in your local church. And to practice it. I mean, sometimes people know what the spiritual gift is because it's obvious. You know, I've seen some people, they grab a microphone, they come to the front of the stage, brand new believer, they open their mouth and sing. And it's like the whole place goes quiet as people's hearts are drawn towards God. I've known young people pick up a microphone and I've said, hey, just do 5 minutes teaching on something, and they open the Bible and they prepare something and they unpack it. And you sit there and go, wow. And this is their first time. What a gift. I've known some people, and some of the young people are like this. You know, if you say, we'd really love to grow our group, we'd love people to find Jesus. You know, within 2 months, they brought like 6 people, and half of them are Christians already. And you go, how did you do that? And you don't really need to ask, well, what's your gift? You can see it. But for the rest of us, we have to work at it to find out what our gift is. For me and Shell, we went to Bible college and we committed ourselves to discovering our spiritual gifts. We loved youth work at the time and we kind of thought that was our gift. But I spent 2 years trying everything else apart from youth work. I did old people's work, I did children's work, I did funeral work, I did everything I could that I could volunteer for. Most of it I hated with a passion. Old people. Oh. I did an old people's service. I spoke at an old people's service. Now, I know some of you love people. Man, you're gifted, I tell you. You're just incredible. I spoke, you know, half of them fall asleep. Dribble falling out of their mouths, you know. And you're going like, I'm obviously real good, you know. And you know, I just go, man, people, I've got to have real patience. You know, I mean, some of you love old people. I don't. I love young people. But see, no, but what I'm trying to say is you might be sat there thinking, I'm not quite sure what my gift is. Try stuff. Try stuff. And you know, some stuff you will hate. I share the story because I want to say that's okay. Just cross it off. Never need to do again. Hallelujah. Walk away. But it will take you one step further to what God has gifted you to do. Don't just sit there and think, I don't know, so I can't do anything. Do something so you can discover what it is that God has called you and gifted you to do. So question 3 is, well, what do I do once I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, we use it for the common good. Or the New Living Translation said, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us as a means of helping the entire church. The gifts that God has given us are to be used for church. Now, the gifts God's given us can be used anywhere. Okay? So you might have the gift of leadership. Well, obviously, that's a useful gift in all sorts of areas of life. And God expects you to use that spiritual gift in every area of life, not just restricted to church. You might have the gift of hospitality. You can draw people and you love them and they just love it. Well, that's obviously a gift for church, but it's a gift for everywhere. But primarily, the gift, the first priority of each of our spiritual gifts is to build the church. Remember, the church is the only hope of the world. Jesus is a person that died, and the church introduces people to Jesus. Without Jesus, people are going for a lost eternity. And therefore, all our gifts should be helping people build all of us up to fulfill the mission that God has given us, which is to introduce people to Jesus. And so primarily, even though the gifts can be used anywhere, it should be used in the church. Paul really nails this in 1 Corinthians 12. And if you've never read 1 Corinthians 12, go and read it. He talks about the body and how each part is absolutely essential for the healthy functioning of the body. Whatever gift you have, we need in this church. And if you're not coming to this church, it's needed in your church. It just is. If we're ever going to fulfill the mission, you're an integral and essential part of the church. Our gifts are never about us. They're never there to make us look cool or to give us status or to give us notice. Our gifts are always supposed to be about helping other people be noticed, about helping other people be built up and so that they can do all that God has called them, so that they can fulfill the church's mission, so that they can glorify God. You see, and as we input into the body, everybody wins. And I just want to warn you, Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, is the parable of the tenants. And the story goes, Jesus tells a story that this man, he was going away on a distant trip, and he gave one person 5 talents, whatever they were, 3 talents, and another 1 talent. And he said, make good use of them. And the one with 5 made good use and made 10, and he presented the 10 to his master. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant, you're great, I'll give you more responsibility. The one that got 2 brought back 4. And again, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, the one that had 1 said, oh, I didn't really use it, I buried it in the ground. And Jesus said to the master, I'm going to take it off you. I'm going to remove that from you because you're not using it. And if you're not using it, I'm going to take it off you. See, there is a warning. We're not just called to use our spiritual gifts. We're expected to use our gifts in church. Each one of you is gifted. If you're a Christian, if you love God, you're gifted. Your gifts are needed and necessary in the church of God. So let's bring them here. Well, what can go wrong? Well, lots of things can go wrong with spiritual gifts. I have a list of 4. You might be able to add a few to the list. But you see, because the spiritual gifts are essential for building up the local church and helping all of us, because remember, local church is people, you know, Satan isn't happy if you use your gift. He'd rather you didn't use your gift. And he has a number of ploys, I believe, to stuff your gift up, to make it less useful. And I think that the first one he does is he lets you compare your gift to somebody else's gift. And that's easy. You know, I'm a pastor. We're building church, right? I've got friends who are building church faster than me. Do you know one of the things that Satan whispers in my ear? Oh, your gift's not much good, is it? Look at what those other pastors are doing. They're far better than you. Their gifts are far greater than yours. They're more amazing. And you know, and sometimes you go, yeah. And then I tell myself, stop it. Stop it. God has perfectly equipped me to do the job he's called me to do. The gift he's given me is perfect for my situation. I'm doing exactly what God has called me to do. But it's so easy, isn't it? And it's so easy to compare what God has given you, your spiritual gift, whatever it is, and for you to go, well, it's not worth as much as that other person that seems to have my gift, or it's not worth as much as that other gift. You know, that other gift looks nice and shiny, and so, you know, I'd like to polish that gift rather than my gift. My gift looks boring and uninteresting. I'd rather to go to the body situation that Paul used. You know, I feel like a foot. I'd much rather be an elbow or an eye. It sounds more interesting. And we do that with our spiritual gifts. And we compare and we say, well, mine's not good. Or we can say, look at my spiritual gift. I'm brilliant. You know, and Satan does that to us as well. Whispers in, hey, Ed, you're doing a great job, you know. That church down the road is rubbish, isn't it? And their pastor's not gifted at all, but you're gifted. Pride. It's as damaging as the feeling of inferiority. And he goes for both. I want to say that's one of his I think, one of his chief ways to sort of diminish the strength of your gift. Ignore both. Be happy with what you got and know that it's ultimately valuable in your hands. And God has given you a mission to use it in a church to use it. I think the second thing, and I think it naturally leads from the first one that Satan does, is we reject our gift. I don't want that gift. I want a platform ministry gift. I want to be on show and, you know, marching around the top of here and, you know, telling people what. I want a leadership gift. Because leadership, that sounds cool. I don't want a toilet cleaning spiritual gift. That sounds rubbish. You know? It's so easy to do. And we reject what God has given us. You know, you guys are great at hospitality. You might not always get much platform time. But I want to say you do a far more important job at building the church than I will ever do. If people come in and feel loved and welcomed, I can say anything and they'll stay. If you mess it up, I can say anything and they'll never come back. We forget how important our gifts are, whether they're up front or they're behind the scenes. They're important for building it up. Don't reject what God has given you. Accept it and say, okay, God has given me this to do. This is amazing. I will rejoice in the gift that God has given me. I was thinking about this. I was thinking, would I ever dare? You know, the Bible says that the veil is torn in two in the temple and we can walk straight into the throne room of God and speak to him. You know, I imagine kneeling and say, God, you know that gift you gave me? It's pretty rubbish. Can I have a different one? I'm not sure I'm going to say that. How about you? Would you go to that from the front room? God, you know, this gift, I don't like it. God, it's pretty rubbish. You might say something worse than that. We would never say that, so don't say it just because you're not in the throne room. Accept what God has given you. It's a trick of the devil to restrict what God has given you to do and the fruit and success and blessing you'll have in your life and the lives all around you if you reject. I think the third one is, this is easy to do. Do you know, certain people are really good at administration, aren't they? Like Carl. Carl's like brilliant at me. If you want something organizing, ring Carl up. It'll be sorted, have a spreadsheet. It'll all be done. It'll be nailed. He'll have all the timings. It'll be fantastic. I like Carl. We did Alpha last year, and he was brilliant. He just organized me. There you go, Ed. There's a run sheet. There's what you're supposed to be doing. It's like brilliant. I didn't even ask him because his gift just flows out of him. He's brilliant. We love Carl. We love people like Carl. But people like Carl can get a little frustrated with those who don't have the administration gift. You know, some of you would go, I don't have the administration gift. I just don't. I'm like ditzy. You know, the ditzy. Some of you are ditzy. Don't turn around and say, yeah, that's you, because that'd be really weird. But I think sometimes within church, within community, it's quite easy for us to say, and we forget it's a gift that God has given us. Without that gift, we wouldn't be good at it. And then we project what we're good at onto somebody else who's not and wonder why they're rubbish. Because they're not gifted at it. What I put on the... Oh, yeah, you guys are real pastoral and sensitive and stuff. I'm kind of that sometimes. And, you know, you can get real frustrated with... You know what those guys, or women even, who have no pastoral sense at all? You know? You've met them, haven't you? The insensitive clot. You have. You've met the insensitive clot. And they say something to you like... Have you got no social skills at all? You don't say that. You think it inside. I can't believe you said that to me. And if you're that sort of person, somebody might have said it to you once, you know what I'm talking about. But because if you're more pastoral, you just think, well, you should be more pastoral. No, they're just brilliant at something else. They're just useless at that. You see, Satan whispers, well, you should think those people aren't good enough. And you project your gift on somebody else, and then they fail. You see, what we should do is the guy who's good at administration should rejoice in the fact that he gets to help those who are a bit ditzy. The guy that's great at pastoral work should rejoice that they get to help those and pastor the people and just nudge out those guys who are in sensitive clots, just because that's their role to do that. And rejoice in what you're good at. Find out what that person's good at and rejoice in their gift and skill. And stop Satan trying to drive wedges between us as believers and as family. And then I think the fourth thing that Satan does, and this is difficult, okay, but I think it's true. And we've decided as a church that if we think it's happening, then one of the pastors will come and have a chat with you. And those that we've done it so far, we appreciate your grace. But sometimes people think, Well, I think Satan whispers in their ear, you're really good at this, when you're not. You know, all of you have heard the worship leader that can't sing, and you go, man, that's horrid. You know, all of you have heard the teacher that really should sit down and shut up. All of us have bumped into pastoral people that really shouldn't be doing that role either. Administrators that really should stop, because they're just horrid. They're just not good at it, sorry, yes. They have other gifts and skills instead. Do you know, and let's be honest, we sometimes just get it wrong. We're sometimes trying to unpack a nice, shiny worship gift and we're calling it pastoral work. It's just different. That's okay. And if somebody puts their arm around you one day and says, hey, you know, I know you'd really, really like to do this, but how about really, really trying to do this instead? Don't feel offended. Just say thank you. I'm glad you cared enough to think I could have a go at this. Because it's so easy for Satan to say, you need to do this, where actually it's not really your gift at all. And Satan does it because it just causes mega issues in church life. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Well, there's my four. You might want to add some other ways that we can stuff up using spiritual gifts, but they're my kind of top four. So finally, how do we maximize our gifts? Paul says to Timothy, one of his proteges, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he says, fan into flame the gifts that were given to you with the laying on of hands. And I know you, I want my gifts to be fanned into flame. And the thing is, church, it's actually really, really simple how we fan into flames the things that we're good at. We just need to keep practicing them. That's it. We're called to unpack our shiny spiritual gift, take it out of the box, and then employ it in the church. Now, as soon as you employ in the church, because it's full of people, it might get a bit bent and a bit broken. God might need to keep healing it along the way. If you ever try to lead a group of people, or even if it's, you know, not, you know, in the cafe or the host or something, you might get bruised and bashed a bit as that gift gets honed. But we need to use it. With practice, we will become really good at using our spiritual gifts. And we just need to keep working at it. We need to, if you're a teacher, for example, you're going to personally study and you're going to train, but then you're going to practice. And you're going to have goes and people are giving you feedback and you're going to grow in your teaching gift. And then eventually you won't just be a teacher, you'll be a good teacher. And then as you keep growing and you keep practicing, you'll become a great teacher or a master teacher in the end as you do it. You know, all the guys that you see on stage, they've gone through a process of training and practice. Dave's pretty good on his white guitar, isn't he? Yeah? Well, I think he is. Dave would say he's not that good, but I think he's good. He spent hours practicing his giftedness on that instrument. And if we're going to really maximize our spiritual gift, our effectiveness for the glory of God, our ability to reach more and more people, our ability to help other people, our ability to help ourselves and find that sweet spot in life, we have to practice the gifts that God has given us over and over again until we get really, really good at those gifts. It's actually our duty to do it, to practice our gifts, to allow them to get knocked and honed. God will heal any knocks. He'll fix any brokenness. He'll do that automatically as you go along, but we have to get the gift out of the box and use it as much as we can. Don't settle for a half-developed or undeveloped gift. And on that line, don't wait until you're sure. You might say, I'm not quite sure what my spiritual gifts are. Well, just keep practicing some now. And I want you to decide tonight to do two things. Two very simple things. The first thing is this. It's to get to a connect group. If you can't get to a connect group, see Pastor Dave tonight, and he will create a list. It won't work as well as if you're in a connect, but he will create a list, and we will figure out how you can still. It won't be as good. It'll be like a plan B, a worse plan than plan A, to help you figure out your spiritual gifts. And we'll send some things out for you, and we'll try and do it the best we can, because we want to help you. But determine tonight that you will discover your spiritual gifts. If you're a Christian, just decide to do it. Don't put it off. If you're part of a connect group, it's going to happen automatically. That's great. If you're not, either join a connect group, go and see Katie. If you can't make it out, go and see Dave, but decide tonight to explore your spiritual gifts. If you love Jesus Christ, explore what God has given you to do. Don't sit on the bench. One day we will stand before God. I can't say it more strongly. I'm so passionate about all of us engaging in church. We have a mission to save the world and decide. And then the second thing I want you to decide to do, if you know what your spiritual gift is or you're kind of half aware, is practice it as much as you can. Take every reasonable opportunity to practice it. I think as we do that, God will do some incredible things. There's a couple in Blackpool who were there this morning, and they were sharing. They were doing the giving talk, and she shared a story which I want to finish with, because I want you to know why it's so important that we use our spiritual gifts. Now this couple, when they heard that the launch Sunday was the 28th, moved their holidays to make sure that they could do it. And they're like valley people already. Love them to bits. Big weekend, shift everything and make sure it happened. And she was standing in the front, and she was doing the giving talk, and she shared this story. They'd been to a housewarming party, and these friends of theirs had moved from a small house to a bigger house, and they were showing it off, as you do, you know. And she noticed that on the walls there was lots of picture frames, but there's no pictures in them. And she thought, that's a bit weird. Why have they put picture frames that we know pictures of? And they said, they said, you know, things are going to happen. We're going to take pictures in the future. So we thought we'd get the picture frames, and then we'll fill the pictures in as we get them. Oh, cool. And then she said, on the way home, she's thinking about what to share for this giving. It's like God whispered this, and he said, in my home, I have rooms full of empty picture frames of people who are not yet part of heaven. They're not yet in heaven, but I have the picture frames ready and waiting. So as soon as they decide to fall, I can put the picture in that frame. Church, we do what we do as people of God, as church, to fill those picture frames of heaven, full of your friends and your relatives, people who are far from God, who don't perhaps even know that God loves them. But we do, church, to do that. Your spiritual gift is essential for the well-being and function of local church. Explore it. Work on it. So all of us may fulfill our potential and fill those picture frames in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.